Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 through 12. Now, because we preach verse by verse through the Bible, we come to subjects that we're not comfortable with. And this is one of those subjects that we're not always comfortable with: marriage and divorce and remarriage. We cannot ignore the scriptures. I love verse by verse Bible preaching, because we don't pick and choose and skip around, because all we do is get spiritually fat and anemic in the things of God when we snack food on the Bible. We need to take the scriptures and look at them and consume every word of God. And I'm going to be going through verse 1 through 12. I'm not going to cover all the verses. Actually, I'm going to start a little mini-series out of these first 12 verses on divorce, remarriage, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And I'm actually going to divide it up in marriage is beautiful, divorce is ugly, and remarriage is possible. And so we need to understand that if God be for us, who can be against us? And probably most everyone in this room, if not personally, at least in your family, someone you've known has gone through a divorce. And, you know, I believe with all my heart that our God is a God who forgives and delivers, and He helps us. Amen. And if you've been through a divorce, and you've remarried, going through a divorce and remarriage doesn't make you a second-class Christian. You're not a second-class Christian at all. Now, how you behave yourself can cause problems, but going through the issue doesn't make you any less of a Christian if you're a Christian. And the Lord has forgiveness and blessing for all of us. And we just praise God for His mercy and His goodness. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 through 12. Now, we will go to Resurrection Sunday next Sunday, and I'll be preaching something different. We'll pick back up on this series with this chapter 19, verse 1 through 12. Let's read it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, He departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea, and beyond, which was beyond Jordan. In fact, just a footnote here, that's where Herod Antipas arrested John the Baptist for preaching to Herod, "It's not lawful to take your brother's wife." And great multitudes followed Him, that is Jesus, and healed them. He healed them. The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him, and saying unto Him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And He answered and said unto them, "Have you not read," don't you love it, Jesus said, "haven't you read, that which made them in the beginning made them male and female? I said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twain shall be one flesh." Leave and cleave and become one flesh. "Wherefore, they are no more twain, two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder." They say unto Him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorce and to put her away?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered," or allowed, "you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put his wife," or shall put away his wife, "except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away doeth commit adultery." His disciples said unto Him, "If this be the case of a man, it be best that the man so be with his wife. It is not good to marry." But He said unto them, "All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. I want to use for a subject this morning, marriage is beautiful. You may be seated. Jesus has gone into the area where Herod has arrested John the Baptist for preaching against him, taking his brother Philip's wife. That's Herod Antipas. I don't know how advanced Herod's romance with Philip's, his brother's wife, was. I don't know whether they were in the first stages, what was happening. But I know John the Baptist was right on it. And he told Herod, you need to repent. I would assume that probably it was in the first stages of the rebellious acts of Herod taking his brother Philip's wife. Not even sure that they were even married at this time. There was some hanky-panking going on. They did get married. And after a while, John, being in prison for about a year, was beheaded because he spoke up and shared the Word of God. I want to begin by simply saying that when they came to Jesus, I think maybe they were trying to get the same results on Jesus that they got with John the Baptist. I think when they came to Jesus, the Pharisees came to him in verse 3 and they say to Jesus, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, these Pharisees obviously wanted to talk about divorce. Their whole mindset was they wanted to talk about severance of marriage. The Jewish nation at that time had no rights for the women. The man was the only one that could divorce his wife. And if the man did divorce his wife, he would write a bill of divorcement, legality, hand it to her, and drive her out of his home. The Jewish people had two different viewpoints about marriage and divorce. And while the Pharisees wanted to talk about divorce, obviously, the scripture is found in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 says, when a man had taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, give it to her in her hand, and send her out of his house. Wow. And the Pharisees were trying to hook into that scripture because in their day, historians tell us that there were actually two theologians, or rabbis rather. One rabbi by the name of Hillel taught that you could get a divorce for any reason. No matter what, you could get a divorce for any reason. There was another rabbi by the name of Shammai. And Shammai says there was no reason to get a divorce except because of uncleanness, fornication, or adultery. And so they were trying to get Jesus to choose sides. But Jesus didn't fall for that. Don't try to get Jesus to choose sides. Just let him take over. When the Holy Ghost shows up, he doesn't show up to choose sides. He shows up to take over. And so Jesus says, have you not read? You got to love it. You got to love it. Have you not read? He's speaking to Pharisees, theologians, people that studied the law. And boy, don't you know that got their craw? Man, that got their goat. That slapped the cheese out of their sandwich. Have you not read? Boy, that was rough. And so the Pharisees wanted to talk about divorce, and Hillel, the rabbi, taught that you wake up one morning, your wife has bad breath, give her a bill of divorce, send her off. Any reason. And if you don't think bad breath's uncleanness, it is. Trust me. There's some uncleanness in my tennis shoes or in my shoes right now. I have to wash them 2 or 3 times a day. Someone said, I put odor eaters in my shoes and they ate my feet off. That's probably what would happen to me. But this Rabbi Hillel was teaching that for any reason, if your wife wasn't so pretty anymore, you could just give her a bill of divorce. You find another woman that looks better. You say, boy, I can't handle that unclean face. You're out of here. Hillel took any reason. He said, any reason you want to send your woman away, you can send her away. He was the liberal of our day and of his day. But Shammai was conservative. Shammai says, no, 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 no. You just can't write a bill of divorce and send your wife away and say, out of the house, you don't please me, I'm going to go trade you off for 220s. I got news for you. When you get so old, you're not wired for 220s. We live in a day that it's kind of cheapened marriage. In our day, it's a place where now it's not just male and female, it's male-male or female-female. We've cheapened the institution of marriage. And so these Pharisees wanted to talk about divorce, but Jesus wanted to talk about marriage. And so Jesus wanted to talk about marriage, so I want to talk about marriage this morning. Verse 4 through 6, Jesus says, have you not read? From the beginning it was not so. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and be cleaved to his own wife. They shall become one flesh. Did you know those were the first words of Adam? Those were the first words of Adam. See, they were going to Deuteronomy to try to support divorce. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Let's don't go to the law. Let's go to in the beginning what God intended for marriage to be. Let's go to Genesis. And so Jesus takes them to Genesis. And he says, have you not read that God made them male and female? Listen to me. You can go with me to Genesis if you'd like. And I want to point out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. There you go. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Everybody say male and female. That's God's way. And not only is it God's way, male and female, but God wanted them to be fruitful and replenish the earth. Two males can't do that. I don't care what politicians say. It takes a man and a woman. Amen? And he says to them, verse 28, and he blessed them. That's Adam and Eve. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So they were to have sexual union. And so Jesus goes on to say, not only do I believe that marriage is between a male and female, but I also believe that you leave your mother and father, you go and cleave to the one you're going to marry, and you become one flesh and you produce families. In these statements that Jesus Christ made, he said, I believe Moses. I believe the first 5 books of the Bible. And I'll take you to Genesis and show you the first words of Adam. Now, I know Adam talked long before verse 23 and 24. I'm sure he name names of the animals and so forth, but the first recorded words of Adam is in verse 23 and 24 of chapter 2. And boy, let me tell you something. They have a lot of talk about women talking a lot. It was Adam that got kicked into gear and started talking. When Eve was came, and by the way, God created Adam from the dust of the ground for himself. And God created Eve from the side of Adam for Adam. And she was different. And Adam said, "Whoa, man." I mean, when he saw that woman, he said, "Whoa, man." And Adam said in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Jesus is telling us that marriage is beautiful. While they wanted to talk about divorce, Jesus wanted to talk about marriage. Now, I'm not here this morning to give you a counseling session on marriage. I wouldn't bore you with that. I wouldn't do that to you, not at all. But I want you to understand that we need a good look at what true marriage is. And God performed the first marriage ceremony. God presented Eve to Adam. And God is the one that said, marriage should be between a male and a female. And when you're married, you should be married for life. God intended for marriage to last a long, long time. I mean a long, long, long time. But then again, God intended for people to live a long, long time. What happened? Sin. So not everything that God planned turned out the way that he had originally planned. Man came in and did some bad things. And of course, the plan of God was Jesus would die for the sins of the world. The second Adam would make things right. But Jesus talks about how marriage is so beautiful. He wanted to talk about marriage. Marriage is an awesome thing. But the thing is, don't get married because you think she's a looker or he's a looker. That ain't why you get married. You get married because you have things in common and God has drawn you together. Well, she's really cute at teenage. Give him a few years. Give him a few years. He or she won't be so cute anymore. Your marriage should not be based on, wow, she's gorgeous or he's handsome. A marriage should be carefully, prayerfully sought out, and know that that's what God wants for your life. Now, I'll bring this out a little later, but I want you to understand. You say, "Oh, brother, I'm single and you're talking marriage." Well, God gives some people the gift of singleness. Did you hear me? God gives some people the gift of singleness. There are people that won't marry because God has given them a gift. That gift is singleness. Sometimes that gift comes after a bad divorce, singleness. Sometimes that gift comes after the death of a spouse, singleness. Sometimes that gift comes to a young man or a young woman from the beginning, singleness. But you can't stay single if you don't have the gift. And God gives people the gift of singleness. Some, not everybody has it. So I wanted to just encourage you that are not married, don't get in no hurry. No hurry. Thank you. I like the support I'm getting this morning. (Laughter) But I want to talk to you a little bit about the beauty of marriage. And God intended for marriage to last a lifetime. In fact, if you're having trouble with your marriage, hang in there. Let God preserve it. Let God save it. Because when you get older, you're going to go, wow, I can't believe how good it is to be married. It comes. When you're young, you don't always respond the way you should, and there's going to be problems. And I know this is not a happy, happy, happy topic, but we need to talk about this because it's really important that we understand the importance of marriage and how beautiful it is. And it is beautiful. We can have children. We can start a family. But notice when they argued the fact, is it all right? Verse 3, the Pharisee said, tempting him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus Christ says to them in verse 8, actually verse 7 and 8, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give us a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he saith unto them, Moses, because of your hardness of your heart, suffered, allowed you to be put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So from the beginning, there was to be marriage between a male and a female, and that marriage was to be beautiful and was to last forever. But then they ask Jesus, well, why did Moses in the law command us to get a divorce? Well, first of all, Moses did not command them. He allowed them. If a spouse is unfaithful, let's say a spouse falls into adultery, whether it's a male or female, you're not commanded to divorce that person. You're only allowed to. You're not commanded to put anyone away because a marriage is worth saving. Hello? And so Jesus Christ said it was because Moses allowed, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses allowed it. And Jesus Christ said, from the beginning it wasn't so. This is what should be from the beginning. That God intended for man to live with his wife till death do them part. And there's actually two reasons for divorce. And one is fornication, adultery. We find it in verse 9. The other is abandonment, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want us to look at this because it's real important that we understand where we're at. And once again, let me say divorce does not make you second class. Let's say a lost person, he's unclean, of course, a lost person gets married, divorce, married, divorce, married, divorce, remarries, divorce, remarries, divorce, remarries, divorce, remarries, divorce, remarries, and he says it, does it 20 times. Well, when they got saved, when the person gets saved, the slate is clean. And by the way, when you get forgiven, the slate is clean. If the slate isn't clean when you get forgiven, it's not forgiveness. Adultery, fornication is not the unforgivable sin. It is a horrific sin, but it's not the unforgivable sin. And we need to understand some things as we look at this because Jesus Christ is saying, I want to talk to you about marriage. Marriage is beautiful. But I want to point out some things that's very important. Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, this man would give a bill of divorce. Send his wife out from the house. Notice that the wife didn't get the house. The man got the house. Oh, they got an old country song, that's my house, Who's that living in my house with my wife? That's my dog in the backyard. I don't remember exactly how the words go. We'll get into more about divorce being ugly later, but I want to talk about marriage being beautiful. Because when you have made that commitment to serve God, God starts something new in your life. You may be sitting in this room saying, well, I've been divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried, and I'm sitting here, preacher, and I'm not comfortable with what you're saying. I want to tell you something right now. You do not have two or three spouses. You have one. So what's that about in the Bible where it talks about a bishop must be the husband of one wife? Well, they still have two or three wives over in other countries. It has nothing to do with divorce and remarriage. In fact, I want to point out something. Marriage creates a new identity. Let me explain this to you. Divorce dissolves that past identity. So if you're married to someone, you get a divorce, the divorce dissolves that past identity. Adultery does not dissolve the marriage. If someone commits adultery, either side, that doesn't dissolve the marriage. You still have a choice to reconcile. You still have a choice to save your marriage. You're not commanded to get a divorce. But you're free to get one, but not commanded to get one if someone commits adultery or fornication. Divorce dissolves the marriage. Let me point out something that is very important, and I wrote this down because I wanted you to hear it and be very dogmatic about it. I want you to see what is really happening. Divorce is not commanded, but it is permitted in the case of sexual sins. A legal marriage forms a marriage. A legal divorce dissolves a marriage. So if you say, I got a divorce, but my wife is over there. No. You don't have two wives. You got one. The divorce severs the previous marriage. It dissolves it. We'll get into the ugliness of divorce later on, but I just want you to get a good understanding of what is here and what transpires. And I'll get into more detail a week after Easter about this, a week after Resurrection Sunday. And we'll talk more about divorce being ugly, but marriage is beautiful. And if you're not married, remember God gives people a gift of singleness. Sometimes people they just enjoy being single, and God gives them the gift to do that. Some of you don't have that gift. You can't stand to be alone. You got to have a gift to be able to remain single for the rest of your life. And some people get it after the death of a spouse. Some people get that gift after a divorce. Some people have that gift before they ever get married. They just have the gift of singleness. And if you don't want to lose that singleness gift, don't get married, because when you get married, you lose it. You lose it. Now, oh, this is uncomfortable. I don't enjoy preaching this, but I do believe in preaching through the Scriptures, and I do believe that it's important that we see that the society that we live in today is given over. There's not many people, it's not many people that we know today, not even in church, that hasn't suffered a divorce or a family member that has. But Jesus Christ forgives all sin. Now, a divorce could be a direct product of adultery or fornication. Divorce could also be a product of just not getting along. But Jesus Christ only gives us two reasons for divorce. Now, I do believe that it is appropriate at times to separate. If a wife or a husband is endangered, I've met many young ladies that their husband beat them, they were mentally abusive. I've also met a couple of men that were beaten by their wife and mentally abused. You say, oh, they were just puny little men. No, they were pretty good, stout, strong men. They just let the woman whoop up on them. I believe separation is appropriate at times for safety. Separation is not always wise because separation is not good for the marriage. But it could be good for your health, for your safety. And so I think there is at times when people would separate. And I don't want to get the cart before the horse, but separation will reveal whether the marriage can be salvaged or not. We'll get into that later on. But separation will reveal whether it will be salvaged or not. And you might be surprised how God handles this and how incredible this is. I want to point out, first of all, Jesus Christ said in verse 9, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, or marry the other, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away doeth commit adultery. Now, he's talking about active, sinful activity. The word fornication comes from the Greek word porneia. Fornication comes from the Greek word porneia. It's the same place we get porn. Porneia, uncleanness, adultery, fornication. A man that has a lustful eye can fit under porneia. Because it's just a matter of time if a man has a lustful eye, or a woman either, that they're going to defile the marriage. So when there's a separation, it's not time for you to play. It's time for you to pray. When there's a separation, it's not time for you to go out and start dating. Because that is against the scriptures. Because being separated, you're still married in the eyes of God. Now, there are those that teach that if you've ever been divorced and remarried, then you're a sinner, you've got two spouses, and you can't be forgiven. That's wrong. It's not even scriptural. I'm trying to share with you the truth of the scriptures, and I don't want to confuse you in the truth about the scriptures. But porneia simply means a lustful spirit. It's where you get porn from, once again. And so if you separate from someone because they're abusive, you separate from someone because you're afraid, you separate from someone because the person is mentally abusive or physically abusive, during that separation, porneia will surface. And when it surfaces, if you don't rescue your marriage, you will ultimately have grounds for divorce. Come on, it's got quiet in here. Last time I was in a place this quiet, it was a dentist's waiting room. And so we look at how beautiful marriage is. And I want to share with you some things as I come to a close. People get married. Let's say I already mentioned two unbelievers get married. They get divorced. They remarry. They get divorced. They get married. You know, and it's forgiven through salvation through the blood. There are two believers. They get married. Two Christians get married to each other, and their marriage should be salvaged. It is a beautiful marriage. You should do everything in your power to keep that marriage together. But then there's a marriage between a Christian and an unbeliever. And that's why if you're a young person, you should never date an unbeliever. If you're a Christian, you should never date an unbeliever. And if you're not a Christian, leave our Christian girls alone. If you're not a believer, don't corrupt some Christian girl, or vice versa. But there are those that said, well, I will change him. I will change her. Nah, that don't work. In the words of my wife, nah. That ain't true. Because the man is on his best behavior. After you get married, you find out the dope and crazy guy he is. If he's that way, you find out he's not any good. He won't go to church with you. He went to church with you all the time when you were dating, but after you get married, I got you. Well, you're on your own. Or maybe two lost people, they get saved. One of them gets saved, the other one doesn't get saved. And the unbeliever says, according to 1 Corinthians 7, maybe the unbeliever says, I didn't sign up for this. So the unbeliever says, I'm not going to stay with this marriage, I'm gone. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us that when that one leaves that marriage, the other one is not under bondage in such cases. That's verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 7. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. And so, I want to conclude the message with this. Separation is not healthy for marriage. In fact, it's dangerous. But it may be for your safety. You may know someone that's physically abused, mentally abused, and it may be proper for there to be a separation. And when that separation is done, it maybe will create, you're not punishing them, but it may create them a place of repentance and changing their ways. But you never date an unbeliever if you're a Christian thinking, well, I'll change them. Now, we'll forget the story about a young lady that she's getting up in years, and Mama said, you need to get married. She came home one evening and said, Mama, I found a man. He's handsome. He's sharp. He's courteous. He's amazing. I think he's the one, but I got a problem, Mama. And Mama said, what's the problem? She said, he's not a believer. He doesn't believe in the devil or hell. And Mama says to the little girl, you go ahead and marry him. We'll see to it that he believes in devil and the hell. Now, if you're an unbeliever and you marry a believer, the believer's making a horrible mistake, and you're going to find out that your marriage is going to be in jeopardy for a long time. So we need to be careful. Marriage is beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. And if you've been through a divorce and you've been remarried, maybe you've been through several divorces and been remarried, say, preacher, what do? You stop where you're at and you enjoy your beautiful marriage. You don't go back and try to fix things. You don't go back and try to correct things. You stop where you are and thank God that you're married, because marriage is beautiful. So what's the will of God for my life? Whoever you're married to now, it's God's will for your life. If you've divorced and remarried, and you discover now that what in the process of divorce, you're thinking, what do I do now? I've remarried. Trust me, when someone is legally married, it produces or forms a legal marriage. And when someone is divorced, it dissolves a marriage. There is only two reasons for divorce. One is for fornication, which is porneia, which is uncleanness, sexual uncleanness. You say, well, I haven't actually committed adultery against my husband or my wife. Jesus said, if you do it in your heart, you're guilty. And you say, well, I haven't ever did anything like that that would merit divorce. Listen to me. If you're caught up in pornography, if you've got a lustful eye, if you can't keep your eyes off the opposite sex, I'm here to tell you, you've got a problem and your marriage is in jeopardy. Stop where you're at. Let me say it again. I know I'm repeating myself, but God knows I'm looking at some of you need to hear it again. If you've been divorced and remarried, You're not a second-class Christian. You're forgiven. If you ask for forgiveness, you repent and ask God to save you. Ask God to forgive you if you're already saved. If you've been divorced and remarried, God's will for your life is to stay with the one you're married to now and to make it a beautiful marriage. Because marriage is beautiful. I love being married. I love having a family. I love someone that'll listen to me. I love, especially in the dead winter, even as cold as she can get as an icicle, my beautiful wife, she still warms me up. It takes a while, but I finally get warmed up. My wife had this cutest, is she in here? Okay. My wife had this cutest nightgown, and it was hairy, it was woolly. She'd wear it to bed because it was warm. And I tell my wife, every time you crawl in bed, I feel like I'm getting in bed with an animal. I woke up one night. Judy can get cold sometimes. And I woke up one night and I was dreaming. I'm sleeping and snakes are crawling all over me, cold snakes all over me. And I woke up and it wasn't snakes. It was my wife's legs all over me. But anyway, the preacher, that's not funny. That's what I thought. It wasn't funny at all. But marriage is a wonderful thing. And if you're even thinking about marriage, stop where you're at and understand that God will honor your marriage and God will bless you and help you in your walk with Him. And the older you get, the more you'll be in love. The older you get, the more you'll say, wow, I'm glad I'm still married. Because love grows on you. And love between a husband and wife grows. Amen? Beautiful, beautiful marriage. And God intended for a marriage to be between a male and a female. Intended for it to be forever, till death do them part, a whole life. And He intended for them to be fruitful, multiply if they can biologically. And by the way, they should be able to if they're male and female. But if there's some reason that's not, then adopt some babies. Do something. But it'll be a cold day in hell and they'll sell popsicles in hell before I will approve of two lesbians or two homosexuals adopting a baby. By the way, the church has almost accepted that nonsense. I said the church has almost accepted the fact that marriage can be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman. It cannot. It cannot. We'll be talking about that later on. Please hear me. Divorce is not the end of the road for you. It's the beginning of a great marriage. Or it could be the beginning of a gift of singleness. Whatever the case may be. I'll use this as an illustration because both of them are dead and gone. I knew a man and a woman that were married for like 30, 40 years. And her husband was an unbeliever. He was not good to her, the woman. And her husband was mean and abusive mentally. And his wife left him. When his wife left him, the man that was unsaved and mentally abusive suddenly got religion. He suddenly became this great Christian. In fact, he became a preacher. But his wife said, now they're separated, but his wife said, we'll wait this out. And she waited it out for 10 years. And it wasn't long, the lust of the eye, wasn't long the adulterous life of the man showed. He shipwrecked in ministry. He went into sin and sexual perversion. And then she was allowed to get a divorce. She didn't get one, but she was allowed to get one. We need people that are in love with each other that will reconcile. We don't need people in the church looking for a reason to get a divorce. That's what them Pharisees were doing, looking for a reason, any reason to get a divorce. And Jesus said, don't look for a reason to get a divorce. Don't look for one. There's only two reasons. One, fornication, porneia, sexual, lustful sins of sex, sexual perversion, or separation from an unbeliever. But that's the only two grounds for divorce. But don't believe for a second that God doesn't see your divorce. Just as he saw your legal marriage formed legally, when you get a divorce, he sees the legal separation and divorce in legalities. And I heard a guy say one time, well, I'm divorced, but she's still my wife. No, that ain't how it works. That's not how it works. And there are preachers that will tell you that you've got to leave the wife you're married to now and go back to your first one in order to go to heaven. That's legalism. It's sin. It's not right. God meets you where you're at. God forgives you where you're at. And no church should ever punish someone that's been divorced and remarried. No, 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 no. We should never look down on someone that's went through a hard time. What we should do, and what I'm doing today, is encouraging you, if you're married, stay married. It's a beautiful union. It's something God gave you. Hang in there. It'll be worth the battle. It'll be worth the struggles. When you get older, you'll say, thank God I stayed married. Now, if you're abused, you fear for your life, then that's a different subject. And it could be that maybe you do need to separate. But separation's not a time for you to date. You're still married. Wow. Whew. I sure haven't enjoyed this one. No, I haven't. I hadn't looked ahead on the verse-by-verse study. I'm sure he'll come up with something even this bad. Going verse-by-verse through the Bible is incredible. If you have a loved one that's died, your spouse has died, God may give you the gift of singleness. Don't rush it. Don't push it. If you don't have the gift of singleness, you're free to remarry. If your spouse has went back into sin, maybe your spouse that you were separated to leaves you, is married to another. The moment that person is married to another, it severs the previous. The divorce severs the previous. There's no such thing as that guy's got 10 wives. That's not even scriptural. There's no such thing that preacher has two wives because he's been divorced and remarried. That's not even scriptural. What is scriptural is Jesus says there's two reasons and you cannot get a divorce just for any reason. And if you've done that, God still forgives. And the divorce does sever the previous marriage. I hope this helps you. Hope you see this. And if you're, you know, the Bible says accept it be for fornication. It's also found in 1 Corinthians 7. Porneia is the same place for the Greek. You get the word porn. Porneia means that whether the male or the female is lustfully active in the heart. God knows. and you can put your marriage at great jeopardy. Nobody jumping and shouting. What a Palm Sunday sermon, huh? We're going to finish this series after the Easter service next Sunday. We're going to finish this series on divorce is ugly, but remarriage is possible. We're going to go into these issues, and I want you to understand the Scriptures, because there's people that don't understand the Scriptures. Jesus was very clear that you just don't dump your mate for any cause. Very clear. Judy and I have been married 48 years. She's never given me a reason to get a divorce. I've had a few reasons to kill her, but never divorced. And if given her a reason to kill me, I'd been dead 10 times already. Got a wonderful wife. My wife told me, if you ever get caught being unfaithful to me, Judy, my wife, she said, if you ever get caught being unfaithful to me, she said, I've got a needle and thread, and I'll sew you up in the bedspread, and I'll beat you to death with a ball bat. Man, you talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and Judy. She don't believe in divorce, but she believes in killing me. But anyway. Didn't you imagine when God created Eve out of Adam's side? And God didn't give Adam the choice. Adam didn't say to God, well, I want her a little taller. I want a different figure. Adam didn't say to God, well, I wanted her to have red hair. And God says, no, you don't. Trust me, you don't. Or Adam says, God, I wanted her to have wild hair. No, you don't. No, you don't. I'll give you what you need. Amen? I mean, God didn't make a bunch of women and send Adam out shopping. Amen? And God didn't make a bunch of men send Eve out shopping. We're kind of lucky we can shop while we're single. But anyway, but we need to focus. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you glad you came? Jim, I've been praying the Lord to give you a new kidney. Yeah. I've been praying the Lord to heal you, Brother Don. Remove all that stuff out of your body and give you healing. Give you many more years so that you'll spend lots of years with Mary, even when she's quite contrary, Mary, Mary. I'm praying the Lord will touch our people that need healing. But maybe in your marriage, you need a little healing today. We're going to give an invitation. I'm not going to pray with you. I just want to invite you to come to the altar and say, God, please give us this strength to never divorce. That we would be faithful to our vows. And God, you would preserve our beautiful marriage. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Next week we'll be on a different subject. Crowd will fill up greatly. The next week, I can't guarantee anything. We're going to be talking about divorce is ugly. Remarriage is possible. Because with God, all things are possible. So if you're having trouble with your marriage, whether you're watching us on live stream, whether you're watching us on television, or whether you're in this congregation right now, if you're having trouble and you're struggling in your marriage, would you don't have to do it this morning, but would you bow with your wife or your husband, kneel beside each other and say, God, give us the strength to stay together. Give us the healing. Give us the forgiveness. Because marriage is beautiful. Altar's open.